Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 888-779-OPEN or open.com.
Well, that old adage that we are what we eat has some truth to it. How about how much we eat? A new study has found that rhesus monkeys who eat a very restricted diet in terms of caloric intake live longer and healthier lives than those who eat more food. The study made its way to the front page of today's Science Times, and it is becoming one of the most emailed articles from that website very quickly. So what does this mean for our supersized culture? Well, joining me this morning, we're very happy to have Dr. Richard Weindruck, a gerontologist at the University of Wisconsin and the director of the project that studied calorie reduction in these monkeys. Dr. Weindruck, welcome to WNYC. Hello from New York.
Hello. Thank you for the invitation.
What exactly is involved in the calorie-reduced diet that you fed these monkeys? What did one group eat? What did the control group eat?
Well, the control group ate pretty much all that they wanted to eat during the working day hours, and then their food is removed. That's sort of a standard way that rhesus monkeys are maintained. For the calorie-restricted group, and this study actually started in 1990, and it's still ongoing. The lifespan data are not yet complete, actually, but the restricted group, we measured their food intake for a couple-month period and then tailored the caloric restriction on an individual basis, reducing the caloric intake by 10% for 3 months, thereby attaining a 30% reduction in calorie intake on an individualized basis.
And the results?
The results to date are that survival is better in the restricted than in the control group, and that there are several signs of improved health in the restricted animals, including they've been completely protected from the development of type 2 diabetes, which is a very common problem in aging rhesus monkeys. We're seeing fewer cancers in the restricted group. We've seen evidence of healthier skeletal muscles, if you will, in the restricted group. Early signs of less arthritis and so on.
And the photos that they used on the front page of the Science Times with this relatively vibrant looking older monkey and this really wizened looking older monkey, that's fairly representative. Did you see it?
Oh, yeah, I saw it. yeah,
I guess when your work makes it onto the front page of the Science Times, you see it.
Yes, we typically don't skip photos of that size here in Madison. Yeah, it is pretty typical. We're actually, as part of our research, attempting to be able to quantify this difference in appearance, this more youthful look in the restricted animals, and we're working with some photographers and others in an attempt to maybe develop a age rating scale that people can judge independently how old a monkey may look. So this is something we're trying to actually put some numbers on. It's kind of been challenging.
So let me jump to the question that everybody's waiting for.
What
are the implications for us humans?
I think the implications for humans are both direct and indirect in terms of translating the knowledge of caloric restriction. So the direct application would be the idea that people would be on caloric restriction and they would get the same health benefits as monkeys, mice, worms, flies. This is not just a rodent thing. It's caloric restriction is effective in lifespan extension and aging retardation in a broad spectrum of species. So the direct application, I think it's unlikely that there'll be millions of people able to adhere to caloric restriction unless the pharmaceutical companies are successful in their
creating diet suppression. I mean,
yeah.
Appetite suppression,
right,
drugs.
Then large numbers of people could perhaps.
Well, how much caloric restriction are we talking about? How little would people have to eat in order to have some kind of an effect based on all these animal studies?
Most of the animal studies have restricted food intake by 30, 40, or 50%, depending on the precise model that is being looked at. There's a smaller literature, though, to suggest that 10 to 20% reductions in calorie intake might also have benefits. We published a paper several years ago where we looked at four different levels of caloric intake, ranging from fully fed to restricted by about 20% to restricted by about 50% to restricted by 60% or so.
Sorry, in people, are you saying?
Pardon?
In people?
No, this was in mice.
Okay.
And there was a real nice relationship, a linear one, between the extent of caloric restriction and the amount of lifespan extension. So if we restricted by 20% in calorie intake, we saw roughly a 20% increase in longevity. So my hunch is that a little restriction would have a bit of an effect.
Dr. Richard Weindrick, my guest on WNYC, a gerontologist at the University of Wisconsin and director of the project that studied calorie reduction in rhesus monkeys. That's on the front page of the Science Times today. Our phone number, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. We have some emails coming in as well to brianlehrershow@wnyc.org. And before we take a phone call, I just have to take those numbers that you were giving us, 10% fewer calories, 20%, 30% fewer calories, mm-hmm. and say, to have any potential impact on our lifestyles, assuming these animal studies were applicable to humans, it means eating a lot less food.
Yeah, it does. There are people, as you read about perhaps in the article, who have managed to adhere to such regimens, and data have been collected from them that show that they have markedly reduced risk of developing cardiovascular disease. But clearly it's a major challenge for individuals to have severely reduced food intakes and you know, live a normal kind of life.
Mira in Oceanside, you're on WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
All right.
Good. My question is, I know you're looking at the physical effects. Have you tracked any behavioral changes in the restricted animal group, specifically increase in food aggression, for sure, and any other displacement behaviors?
We've not seen any negative behavioral effects based on observation over many of the years. Clearly, they are more motivated, the restricted ones, to eat. We have greatly expanded recently our work in the area of learning, especially as it relates to age-associated learning deficits. And we have a new project on this grant where we're doing brain imaging to focus in on structures in the brain, such as the hippocampus, which are very important to the aging brain, and which we will follow longitudinally in individual animals over time.
Graham in Long Island City, you're on WNYC. Hi, Graham.
Hey, good morning. My question is twofold. One is, how many monkeys were in the experiment, both controlled and the experiment group? And second is, was there a benefit to this restricted calorie intake to monkeys across the age group, or did you have to start them in adolescence? Do you think projecting there might be a benefit for older rhesus monkeys, and i.e. older humans? Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Weindrick?
Sure. The study, when it started, at its peak, I should say, it had 78 animals. There were 30 females and the remainder males, and half of each gender was restricted, the other half on the control diet. Rhesus monkeys live on the average about 27 years, and a maximum lifespan is thought to be about 40 years. Our animals were about 10 years old at onset, and
so they'd be adults.
Yeah, they'd be young terms. Adults, like 20-ish, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Fully grown, though. And we did not test different ages of onset. I could point out data from mice that we published in 1982 in the journal Science. We were the first to show back then that you could start caloric restriction at just about middle age. We started it at 12 months of age in mice that maybe live up to 40 or so normally.
Months.
40 months, yeah. And we were able to observe 10 to 20% increases in both their average and maximum lifespans.
Now, in terms of human diets, if one were to pursue a calorie-reduced diet, does this mean changing your eating habits altogether or just eating less? For instance, do I have to eat a tempeh burger, or can I eat three-quarters of my sirloin burger and still get the benefits of reduced calories?
Only good things happen if malnutrition is avoided. So one of the real challenges in terms of human application is to reduce the amount of food one eats while getting all of the dietary essentials. There have been several books people have written over the last 10 or so years that help to guide the interested practitioner of caloric restriction in applying such a diet to their lives. I've kind of made a career of avoiding recommendations.
Right, but what you're saying is you got to make sure you get your vitamins and minerals if you're going to go on very little food.
And your essential fatty acids and essential amino acids and all of things essential.
Mike in Forest Hills here on WNYC. Hi, Mike.
It seems that people don't discuss the main issue, which is, does caloric restriction and these other methods to help you live longer, does it cut back on happiness? Does it make people live longer but unhappily?
Were you able to measure anything like that in rhesus monkeys?
No, we have not been able to measure happiness in the monkeys. I have been told by the caretakers of the animals who caretakers have been with these animals since they were born, and their take of it is that each monkey has his or her own personality, which is really quite unique and quite identifiable as being that monkey. And
but from a human,
that has not changed at all.
Uh-huh, right. But, of course, Mike is asking the very human question of, is it worth it to take the shot that we're going to live until 90 or 100 or 110 and go around feeling hungry and deprived most of the time, certainly by our Western standards?
Well, I guess that's an individual decision.
I guess so.
Actually, my primary motivation for studying caloric restriction over the years really has been to utilize it as a model of aging retardation that allows for a clearer understanding of the biology of decelerated aging. And earlier in our conversation, I was pointing out that there are two kinds of human applications of caloric restriction. One, the direct usage, which we've been talking about, where people actually do it. The other is to take the knowledge that we've learned about the biology of caloric restriction and attempt to develop a drug or nutrient mixture that will mimic some of the essential actions of caloric restriction. And this is a very hot area of aging that actually was covered on the front page yesterday of the Wall Street Journal concerning some breakthroughs ongoing in trying to mimic actions conditions of caloric restriction by drugs or nutrients, which is another main focus of my laboratory.
We have 20 seconds left. Question from a listener via email. Does the amount of exercise resulting in burn calories affect the benefits? If one didn't reduce caloric intake but did increase exercise, would one reap the same benefits?
The answer is that that experiment's been done. If you exercise rats to have them be...
burn off the same amount real quick.
Right. Exercise can increase average lifespan, but unlike caloric restriction, cannot increase maximum lifespan.
Dr. Richard Weindruck, with that disappointing last answer.
Oh, that's not a bad answer. No, it's a good outcome. Increasing average lifespan is good.
Okay. Dr. Richard Weindruck, gerontologist at the University of Wisconsin. His monkey's life expectancy study is on the front page of the Science Times. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Talk to you tomorrow, folks. Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.